That's the part of the Lord's Prayer we're looking at today. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us the bread we need for today. And I'm going to begin and end with two stories. They are true stories. They were written down and shared by Dennis, Sheila, and Matthew Lynn in their book about prayer called Sleeping with Bread. During the Second World War, so many children were orphaned. They were orphaned by bombing raids. They were orphaned when their parents were taken away. Here's one of the stories that I know personally. My sister-in-law's father-in-law was 13 when the Nazis came to their farm in Poland and took their parents. They released the parents later, but he and his younger brother didn't know that because they ran. He and his brother survived in all of the ways that they could for 3 years as they gradually walked to France, where they had heard there would be more help. They walked. By the time he was 16, he was in the resistance. At 17, he was injured and escaped to Britain, recovered, went back. He didn't see his parents again until the fall of the Iron Curtain. He was one of thousands of children who roamed the streets who never knew what would happen the following day. Some were rescued and placed in refugee camps where they received food and good care. But so many of these children had gone so long, they had lost so much, that they could never sleep at night, because they feared waking up to find themselves once again homeless and without food. And nothing that the caregivers could say would reassure them. Finally, someone started giving each of them a roll of bread to take to bed. And holding the bread, the children could sleep, knowing that whenever they woke, they would have bread for the morning. And all through the night, the bread reminded them, "Today I ate and I will eat again tomorrow, and someone cares enough to give me bread." With the bread we need for today, feed us. Most of us in this room have never experienced that kind of hunger. We have never experienced that kind of insecurity. There may be a few. I speak for myself. I have never worried that I wouldn't have enough food or enough to feed my children, not even briefly. And yet, for so many people around the world today, the prayer for bread or rice will be the most fervent prayer that they make. Give us this day our daily bread. A mother in Botswana, a father in the bombed shell of a building in Syria, a child living alone on the streets of Rio, a family in Bangladesh. All these will pray today for bread, just enough for today. This prayer, give us this day our daily bread, is at the center, at the heart of the Lord's Prayer, and it is simple and basic and heartfelt. The bread given is not just a meal, it is literally life, and it means safety of a kind for today. If you know there's enough bread, enough food for today, and there will be enough food for tomorrow, then you can sleep, then you can learn, then you can build, and you can share. For us in Canada, if you read the papers, you'd start to think that bread was bad. As you know, carbohydrates are evil. They are sent by Satan to tempt us from thinness. But bread has been the essential food in the human diet in most of the world since people started planting crops. Might be wheat bread, corn bread, cassava bread. Jesus would have eaten primarily barley bread or rye bread. And in some places in Asia, rice takes the place of bread. A traveler in Afghanistan just about 20 years ago commented that most people lived almost entirely on bread. In Jesus' time, the price of bread was the measure of the economy, and it's still one of the measures in ours. Bread's so central to our lives and to our culture, first because most of us eat bread every day in one form or another, and also because it is something that is so easily broken and shared. Thomas Merton has said, "Our salvation begins on the level of common, natural, and ordinary things." And that is why the economy of the sacraments rests in that material element. Upon plain and ordinary things like bread and wine and water and salt and oil. We can make things very complicated. The world often pushes us away from the simplest things, and the powers and principalities that rule our lives discourage us from seeking peace or justice or even spirituality or conversation by insisting that solutions are complicated. And sometimes that's true. But in the history of the world and the stories of unexpected peace and unlikely compassion, change and salvation began in the simplest things. The sharing of bread, an unexpected conversation, a person who set aside fear just for a moment to speak to the person they feared, a person in the midst of grief and anger who found their enemy offering them bread. Two people who were on a journey to a town who invited a stranger to a meal, and when he broke the bread, they recognized Christ in the breaking. The stories of the sightings of Jesus after his resurrection usually include the sharing of a meal. In the breaking of bread and in the pouring of wine, we recognize the Christ. Salvation begins for a person or for a nation in its simplest and most ordinary of things, so often just a conversation over a meal. In this prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer for bread is right in the middle, in the center. It is the only material request in the prayer, and though we often spiritualize it, saying, oh, surely they're talking about other things, and Christ is, that give us bread for today actually means what it says. In the simplest things, is the beginning of salvation. I want to end with this true story. Viktor Frankl was a doctor, a neurologist, a psychologist in Germany in the years before the Second World War. In 1942, he and his wife, they had been married only a year, were arrested and sent to concentration camps. His wife, Tilly, died at Bergen-Belsen just as the camps were being liberated. And he wrote about his experiences, and his most famous book, when published in English, was called Man's Search for Meaning. And he wrote these words about the camps and the meaning of the sharing of bread. Many people survived the concentration camps only because other prisoners had given their own last piece of bread to the children. Victor says, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts, comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of his freedoms, to choose one's attitude in every given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way." In many ways in our lives, we choose the bread we will sleep with. And we choose how to live our lives, to choose our own way, either by default or in action. And when we choose our own way and God's way, we become like the men and women in the concentration camps who could give others the bread of life that they held, one piece, saved so many. Please hold this story in your hearts this week as you continue to pray the Lord's Prayer at your rising and as you go to bed, and hold that bread next to your heart. May it be so. Amen.